This is the time of the year we Dawsonites start talking about breakup. And although we say that a breakup isn't important any longer, there is still a certain amount of excitement now as the days are lengthening and the sun warmth is being felt. So we find ourselves going down to the riverbank every evening to check on the ice condition. But years ago, breakup was one of the most important events of the year to Dawson people. And I asked Mrs. Elizabeth Vifquin, who came here in September of 1899, what breakup meant in the early days. Now, what would happen about a week or so before the ice started to move, Mrs. Vifquin?
Well, I'm telling you, we were watching anxiously for it to move. Mm-hmm. Merciful goodness. Being jailed for so many months until the breakup, it was no fun.
Mm-hmm. So then you'd go down to the riverbank and watch it, would you?
We'd go down there and watch and watch. And when that whistle of that first boat that arrived in Dawson, it didn't make any difference whether you had your hair combed, you had any clothes practically on you. We grabbed the first thing we could go get a hold of, and down at the riverbank we were.
Where would it whistle first? Would you have much time?
Yes. The first whistle would always blow around between Klondike River, the Yukon, and the Klondike River, uh-huh, up where the hospital, uh-huh, is. That's your first whistle.
Oh, yeah.
And then I said, by the time that they got down here, you were right at the dock when they were there.
Well, there'd be hundreds of people down there, wouldn't there?
Well, it was terrible. And if you could see them, they sure looked like a bunch of rags, every one of them.
They usually got in here in the morning, then, was it?
Well, in the morning or in the evening, mm-hmm, no matter what time they got here. But it was really early because none of them had even their hair combed, their face made up, or anything else. They didn't care. All they wanted to do was see that boat.
Mm-hmm. And then what would happen? Would there be a lot of new people coming in and old-timers coming back?
Oh, yes, lots of old-timers come. And hollering and everything else and excitement around there. It was terrible. Even the dogs couldn't beat the human beings.
Well, then what freight would you look for most? What would be the most important thing coming off that first boat?
Well, we looked for stuff that we wanted during the winter. And we looked for friends that we knew were coming back and supposed to be on that boat. And I said we were very happy to see them all. And I'm telling you, I said we were more happy to see the old boat than anything else.
Well, then a lot of your heavy freight, like furniture and things you'd wanted, and big parcels, they'd have to wait for the boat, wouldn't they?
No, we never paid any attention to that. It was stuff we wanted to eat and what we wanted to see. Furniture made nothing to us, meant nothing to us. No.
But it was the fresh meats and vegetables, eh?
Fresh stuff and people that we wanted to see that hadn't seen all winter. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it didn't make much difference to us what was on that boat.
And then you get back to the ice going out. You know, now people say, oh, it's thin ice, it'll go out next week. It's heavy ice, it won't go out for 2 weeks. The snow's on the hill. Mm-hmm. Has it always been like that? Have there always been specialists?
They don't really, none of us know just when it's going. Mind you, this year, it's been a very funny year. But we have no idea when that ice will go out.
Did some of the men used to bet on it when it was going? Do you remember them getting excited?
They bet years and years and years they've been betting on that ice. It'll go out of here. And I said, old Chief Isaac, years ago, when the ice was late going out, he'd say, well, she no go out this year, she go next year.
That's the way it looks this year, too.
Well, it's true.
Didn't you tell me about some men having a great argument once? Was it in the Yukonia with the great glass windows?
There was Jack Pickering and Johanna. Johanna had a clothing store right on the corner across from the Bank of Commerce on Front Street. Jack Pickering was the stage driver for the mail back and forth from Winters. And next door to the Euconia was the Harry Gleaves' picture show and Apple Jimmy's store. And the Apple Jimmy had his store next door. Jack Pickering and Joe Hanna had their hand full of rolls of bills, just going to bet when the ice was going out, when Apple Jimmy come screaming his head off past the window of the Euconia. He said, "The ice, she's going, the ice, she's going."
They never did make their bet.
No, they couldn't. They had the money in their hands, but they couldn't make the bet. The ice was moving.
What did the school kids do? Did they get out of school?
Oh, yes, they were always let out of school. Mm-hmm. They had no use in trying to keep them there. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do any good. All the kids would come running from the schoolhouse down to the riverbank.
What an exciting day when the ice would go away.
Oh, it was always a very exciting day. Mm-hmm. Always.
And then there was one year in particular, Mrs. Vifquin, that the ice going out meant quite a bit in your family, didn't it?
Well, did you have Johnny's?
This was when?
1913.
It was 1913, wasn't it?
In 1913, my husband, Johnny Zaccarelli, if you look on the old-time papers of 1913, on the 14th of May, you will see an article called Zaccarelli's Dream. Mm-hmm. And I said, my husband got up this morning and he said, "Mother, I'm playing the ice this spring on number 11. I said, "Oh, yeah? What did you eat last night?" He said, "I had a dream." He dreamt that he was in Tom Chisholm's bar and gambling hall on Front Street. It was on the corner of Front and Queen, across the street from the Bank of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And I said, he was sitting at this roulette table, and there was a man here by the name of Tobin that had a white bulldog. And he was sitting, this bulldog was sitting alongside of my husband. So every time Johnny turned the needle, spin the needle, it turned to 11. So he said he was going to play that. I said, "Oh, don't be silly." But I said he paid no attention to me. He put that in his book, and when the ice minutes come out, they were all cash pools those days. I said he played them. He was getting in so deep that he was worried about too much money, and he got a hold of a friend of his that worked in the fire hall, Jimmy McKinnon. I hope Jimmy's alive and he can hear that. And I said, he told Jimmy, he said, "Jimmy, let you and I go in partners." I said he wanted somebody to help him out. He was getting in too deep. So I said, he went to school in Nanaimo with Jimmy when they were kids. And Jimmy and him went in partners. They bought all the cash pools they could buy in Dawson. When the ice went out, they cleaned $3,300 and some odd.
So April of 1913, when was a breakup, you remember. Well, then you were lucky yourself, too, weren't you, a few
all
years
right.
later?
In 1937, Harold Malmstrom had a special number he was playing on the ice. All right. The Euconia used to have their ice pool card. It was $2, $3, and $5. A lot of them remember that. They know it. And I said, "Harold played up here the $2 one." And I said, "Down below he played the $3 and the $5. He made a miscue." So that went fine. And I said, then Joe saw this on the card, and he called Harold up. He said, "Harold, what number are you playing?" He said, "I am playing 37. Oh. Well, he said, you've made a mistake. You got 37 on the 3 and the 5. But he said, you made an awful mistake. That's all right, Joe. He said, rub it off. And I said, I was sitting in the lobby, and I said, give me the phone. I said, I got on the phone to Harold Malsterman. I said, Harold, oh, Liz, that's all right, that's all. I said, Harold, you know that you can very much afford to take that one straight across as long as you want the other one. You've got it. Take it. Don't rub your name off. It's bad luck. He said, you let Joe do as I told him. I said, all right, all right. So I just paid no more attention, and I said to Joe Segbers, I'm going to take that one straight through. He said, you're nuts. He said, you're $15 on that pool now. I said, I know it. I was $5 with Charlie Gage. I was $10 by myself. I said, I know it. But I said, that's the one that's going to win. He said, don't be silly. All right. I said, I tried to talk this one into it. No, couldn't. I tried to talk that one into it when they come. No, couldn't. I said, finally, Jack Dennison, the boy that worked in the Bank of Commerce, came up with his $10 check. And he said, boss, give me the card. And I said, all right, Jack, do you want a lucky number? He said, yeah. I said, take that one across. He said, who rubbed his name off of there? I said, Harold Malmstrom. But I said, that's a lucky one. No, he said, I want 40-something. I said, all right, all right. I said, Jack took his 40. Then he turned around to me and he said, boss, lest you and I put our name on the $2 part where Malmstrom rubbed his name off. I said, I handed Jack a dollar and he puts up a dollar and we take that. I said, poor old Frank Osborne lived in number 2 upstairs on the first floor. And he come hobbling downstairs. He was lame. And he said, all right, by God, he said, I've heard you trying your best to sell that to so many different ones down here. And he said, now listen, boss, I'm taking the 3 and the 5. And I said, old Mr. Osmond did. I said, that was the one that won the ice pool. And I said, Joe Segbers, and the rest of them said, my God, never talk her out of anything. So the next year, which was 38, when Ed Swartz used to always make these cards.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Swartz brought them over, and there was a 2, the 3, and the 5. Cost you $10 across the board. You win $600. So Joe Segbers says, well, boss, here's the card. Got your number? I said, I don't know what I want. I said, I haven't got any number. I said, I looked up on the wall, and we do always have. You have it in the store, the bank's card up there, and they always have a year card that they send to you.
Yeah.
I looked up, and I said, well, this is 38. Put me down on 38. And I said, I won the $600.
So that was all the fun of the first boat. What happened when the last boat went out, Mrs. Lifkin? Were you around for that?
No. We sure were not. We did not stay in town to listen to that mournful goodbye.
What did you used to do?
Take the horse and buggy and go up the creeks. Get away so we wouldn't hear that last whistle. And then the other whistle come back to them. You see, they'd blow their whistle go now. And then the light business down here at the north end, they'd echo it. Oh, I said, we couldn't stand that. We left 9 months in jail.
And then you're already waiting for the next one to come in the next spring.
Yes, we sure were very much waiting. But now we don't have to.
No, things are much different.
You go out any day you want to go now.
But it's not nearly as much fun as it waiting for it.
Oh, Lord, no. We used to have wonderful times. There's no kidding about it. I wouldn't give anything. Give anything. I would never miss that part of my life. Because they always say, Well, what in God's green earth do you go back to that damn place for? I said, say, let me tell you something. I said, we were happy in that damn place more than you fellas ever thought of being out here.
And I can only agree with you. And this has been Mrs. Elizabeth Rifkin, who came to Dawson in September of 1899 and has watched many, many times that the ice has broken up, and especially that first boat coming in. And thank you very much, Mrs. Rifkin. This is Arthur Retallick in Dawson City.